every time I pray, I invite the veterans to pray for me and sharing with each one as I pray for you. Receive whatever is God has for you tonight. Lord, I pray words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So tonight, on this third Sunday in Lent, we continue to continue with our series Desert Wanderings, Exploring Questions of Faith. And what we did was we asked you all at Ash Wednesday and any time online to submit questions that you wonder about, questions of faith that you struggle with. If you were to have a conversation with Jesus one-to-one, what would you ask? And several questions were submitted, and each week we're going to draw one out of the bowl at the end of the service. So again, don't let us forget to do that for next week at the end of the service today. But last week, you drew this question. When we die, will we go right to heaven?
Oh, yes.
And quoted, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Or will we rise up when Jesus comes back? Now, it's really pretty funny that you all would draw that question when I am up to preach. Because I am really not a theologian who ponders those kinds of deep questions of faith and doctrine. That is not who I am. Now, you all in chapel have heard talk about board-ordained ministry for the last couple of years, because that's the board in each annual conference that credentials or evaluates and assesses people when they're going into ministry. And Aaron and Laura have both been going through that process in the last couple of years. So you've heard about that board. And that board is made up of four teams: theology, leadership, preaching, and personal growth. Guess who chairs the theology team on the board of ordained ministry?
Not you.
Him. He chairs the theology team on the board of ordained ministry. I, when I was on the board, chaired the leadership team. And then I chaired the board, but not the theology team. I was smart like that. So this is really a question for Steve and not for me.
You got it.
On one side is a criminal, and on the other side is a criminal. insulted him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, to the first criminal. Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. So, based on that scripture reading, it would seem that we have the answer to our question. Jesus said it very plainly and unequivocally there. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, not at some future date, but today. So now let's take a look at another scripture reading. This is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And in that letter, Paul spends what is now formed into an entire chapter, chapter 15, in the first letter to the Corinthians, talking about the resurrection. And this is part of what he says in that chapter. I start with verse 10 and read through 24. So, if the message that is preached says that Christ has been raised from the dead, then how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Of course, this argument about whether resurrection of other people happens or not. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised either. If Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and our faith is useless. We are found to be false witnesses about God because we testify against God that he raised Christ when he didn't raise him, if it's the case that the dead aren't raised. If the dead aren't raised, then Christ hasn't been raised either. If Christ hasn't been raised, then your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. And what's more, those who have died in Christ are gone forever. If we had hope in Christ only in this life, then we deserve to be pitied more than anyone else. Now here we get to it. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. Since death came through human being, the resurrection of the dead came through one too. In the same way, everyone dies in Adam. So also everyone, it's okay. No problem. That happens to the best of us. Sometimes we just forget, that's its own thing. It's been listening to us and then it starts talking back to us. So let me start with that paragraph where we get to the meat of the matter. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. Since death came through human being, the resurrection of the dead came through one too. In this way, that everyone dies in Adam, so also everyone will be given life in Christ. And then, each event will happen in the right order. Christ, the first crop of the harvest, then those who belong to Christ at his coming, and then the end, when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he brings every form of rule, every authority and power to an end. So, in reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it seems clear that there is this sequence. There are three sequences that are talked about. You all may remember hearing that scripture in another version that says that Christ is the first fruits of those who die. This one says Christ is the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. Then later it clarifies even more this linear sequence by saying that each of the events happen in the right, each of the events of the resurrection happen in the right order. Christ, the first crop of the harvest, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, and then finally, every authority and power will receive resurrection. It sounds linear. First begins when Paul is talking and he says, he seems to indicate that he's really done with his work on earth, and he says this to Philippians, "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which one I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you." Now, that doesn't sound like he wants to die and just hang out for a while, and then at some point be with Christ. He doesn't want to be in this holding place until Christ comes again and all the resurrection. He said, "My desire is to die and be with Christ." So it certainly seems like he anticipates that if he dies, he will be with Christ immediately. But then remember what Paul says in Romans. He says, you know, the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption and redemption of our lives. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Again, there's this waiting. There seems to be this indication that we wait for adoption, that we wait for the redemption of our bodies. And then we can go to Revelation, and we can remember that there it talks about this vision of the saints who are all gathered around God's throne already. And that makes a case for immediately going to be with Christ. So what do you think?
Not what we
think,
it's what
God thinks. Well, I think we're trying to figure that out. But we kind of hear different things in different places of Scripture. So, N.T. Wright has written a whole book on the resurrection called Surprised by Hope. And he says this: all language about the future, as any economist or politician will tell you, is simply a set of signposts pointing into the fall. But maybe it's not an either or, but instead a both and. It's incredibly easy for us to be very binary in our thinking and to want to pick one, either this or that. That's what the question said. Is it this or is it that? Either immediately or at some point in the future. Either today or we groan inwardly as we wait for redemption. Maybe it's a both and. Maybe we are immediately with Christ, and then we also wait for the day of resurrection, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and all creation will be redeemed and renewed. That's what N.T. Wright believes. That's what John Wesley believes. The fact is that we have both of those images in Scripture. That one, the one that is death, that has no victory, the one is that death has no victory over us whatsoever. As soon as we die, we are with God. We are in the arms of Christ. N.T. Wright calls this a state of peaceful happiness, peaceful bliss. And then there are other images in Scripture of the resurrection day, when the trumpet will sound and Christ will return and all will be raised up as our bodies are made incorruptible. That's the word that's used. That means that we are also in a state of peaceful bliss in the arms of God. And we are in some kind of intermediate state, in a temporary resting place, until all creation is redeemed and renewed. Now, one side over here. That kind of understanding of an intermediate place is not purgatory. How many of you guys have heard purgatory? territorial. That is a Catholic understanding, a Roman Catholic understanding, but it is not what we as Protestants believe. This resting place, where we are resting in the arms of Christ, where we are already with Christ in paradise, is not purgatory. Purgatory is seen as this state where souls of faithful are being purified and cleansed by the prayers of living faithful until the day of resurrection and judgment, until the new creation. It's a time when we are striving and working, and we as living faithful are praying for them that they will be purified and made right enough to be with God. That is not what I mean when I say we are resting in the arms of Christ until the final day when Christ comes again. While the scripture points to both being with Christ in paradise immediately and to a time of waiting with all creation for the day of the final resurrection, that time is not described in any of those passages that I read as a time of purification, a time of striving to be made right with God. That time is not described as a way of being cleansed and made ready. It is described as a time of peaceful contentment, a time of resting in God's love. So, the answer to the question, when we die, will we go right to heaven, or will we be raised up when Christ comes back? I think it's not an either or, but a both and. Maybe it's not so binary and linear. We think very linear, but we don't really know how God's time works. And Scripture supports both. We believe both. Perhaps most important, it's for us right now to focus on how God will redeem and renew creation through us, and how God will save us so that we can be a part of that process. Again, Paul reminds us, now we see in the mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Therefore, we keep looking for signposts in the fog, right? And trusting that God's new world will be exactly what we need and exactly what we want, and filled with the best of this world's transforming and redeeming love and beauty. In the meantime, we'll continue to be practical theologians, right? We'll continue to live with the deep questions of faith like this one that inform how we live today. So back to those notes that I write to folks when someone has died. I say this to us. May the sure and certain hope of the resurrection sustain and strengthen us to live into the mission of the church, to be co-workers with God in the present, to redeem and renew all creation. Until the time, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. That's for now. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your holy word, which helps us to struggle and ponder issues of faith. And we also know that you are God and we are not. And your time is not our time. And your understanding is not ours. Or ours is not yours, we should say. Instead, we trust. We trust that when we die, we will immediately go to meet with you, and that you will hold us in your arms in paradise. And we trust that on the judgment when you come again, that all creation will be redeemed and renewed. In the meantime, O God, may we be co-workers with you, striving to make that happen.